Welcome to Explorers Wanted. We are a weekly Numenera actual play podcast. I will be your sweet, kind, and gentle GM, Uwu, Daniel Anderlich. With me today is Stace Babcock.
Here I am, Daniel, with you all the way.
And Samson Davis.
I wish that we had a dedicated phrase for when you find, like, the source of a meme or something out in the wild, like, spontaneously. Like, that'd be compelling, because I found one when I was playing Dark Souls 2. I was like, oh, that's that sound from TikTok. And it was just NPC dialogue. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal ultimately, but I was thinking about it. I'm surprised we don't have like a phrase for it yet.
Or a meme for it yet.
Well, no, we do. It's the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing, but.
Is that what that means? Okay. I interpret like 99% of memes based on vibes and context. So.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong to do that.
Just like emojis.
No, I agree with that. Like some of the winking ones or like the crying ones. It's like, I feel like you're using this different how I would use it, but I don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
Speaking of crying, Die Hard Dice make you cry from happiness because they have so many beautiful designs in acrylic and metallic, and they roll wonderfully well all the time, except when you don't want them to. They know every time. So go onto the website, dieharddice.com, find the perfect set for you. Perhaps you'll notice that they have this reroll thing going on. That's a charity thing they're doing where 50% of the proceeds go to the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund. Also, Die Hard Dice is also donating a 7-piece set to Magic Kids, which is another charity helping kids get their nerd on in school and stuff. So yeah, pick up a real world set from Die Hard Dice. They're pretty. They use recycled acrylic from other sets that they have crafted. Good for the environment, I assume. Good for Palestinian Children's Relief Fund, Magic Kids. And when you use our code EXPLORERSWANTED, you get 10% off your order on top of all the charity stuff that your order is being applied to. So it's just a really good thing to do. You should do that right now. Please. EXPLORERSWANTED. 10% off. Thank you.
And I should mention, Alex isn't with us here tonight. She couldn't make it.
Oh my God, remember Alex? No.
She tried to make it, but then she went back out on the stairs and slipped. And
see, I heard Max finally got her. Max finally ate her. Silly Maxi pad.
Max is currently holding her hostage until she gives him garlic bread. So, who remembers what happened last time? I'm going to pick on Stace.
Oh, fuck. The problem is I wasn't paying attention.
Especially to the parts where you were talking.
I don't really know what Magpie Nilsson did. Wait. They encountered a flood down in the tunnels. That's dangerous. It sucks. There's hovering. That's what I got.
That's kind of it. Yeah, we were taking Burt down the tunnels. The thunder was like very close, but then it turned out to be flood water coming down the tunnels. You were definitely the star of last episode, so.
I was paying better attention than I thought. Great. So, in other news, Ezri was like, I don't know where my friends are. I'm feeling well rested. I am going to go and see about breaking this Nano out of prison. So her idea is just to case the place and try to arrange an escape, like some sort of minimal level of coordination from this guy. So she dresses like a guard, pretends she's Neva's cousin, gets in. The administrator is like a grumpy, but ultimately like, unfortunately, accommodating nice guy. Poof, he's going to get fired. Anyway.
He hopes that's all that happens.
Either. No, no. What are these consequences? Anyway, so Ezri goes back there talking to the dark wizard Neva, who's pretending to do a one-armed handstand in his cell. Also thinks a lot of himself, very into his dark powers, and was not very helpful initially with like the escape planning, and finally asks, like, who the fuck are you? And Ezri's like, I'm Ezri Stonebreaker. It's like, oh, the murderer. And, like, you murder one person, right? And that's all you ever are? Like, come on. Anyway, so they forge a momentary...
Oh, Dan's counting.
Well, the first person, Daniel. The subsequent people don't count for the moniker. I feel like people only know about the one, really. The rest are an open question. The rest have not been solved.
I mean, it's not like there's a statute of limitations on being a murderer. You do it once, you're a murderer forever.
Yeah, but what about her poet's soul?
It's not like you guys left a couple witnesses on the train.
They don't know it yet. So anyway, finally, Ezra's like, when do you want to do this thing? After she lured Neva into her crew by teasing the old enclave's hidden section. And Neva, God bless him, was like, what about now? And created an illusion of a giant rabid rat thing. Ezri played it off and then was like, do you have a plan? And then Neva's like, I thought you had a plan. So, gonna fit right in. And ultimately, Ezri broke the door, flew him out of there, and now they're on top of the roof of the prison, realizing that they are being set upon by a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was all of it.
Yeah. So the hurricanes are blowing up top. Ilsen.
Hello.
Bertram has just asked Magpie, are you the dildo lady? When another wave of water hits you guys, it just sort of knocks you guys off your feet. And as you're kind of like sitting up, trying to get oriented, Bertram is like standing up and he's like looking around, knowing he's not where he's supposed to be. And he looks over and there are two figures that you don't recognize that are currently slipping a bag over Magpie's head and dragging her away. And Bertram freaks and starts running down the streets away from both of you.
Shit, fuck. Can Ilsen make a note of the people taking Magpie, their face, their garb, any distinguishing marks or features?
So they are wearing masks. Their clothes are somewhat like professional looking, like wearing like button down suits of relatively nice fabric and gloves. You can't see any skin. They're covering up all their skin, which makes sense if they're operating down in the Warrens.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is probably like around 5'11". The other one is about 5'7", but they both have like really broad shoulders.
Okay. But other than that, like no emblems, no insignia, nothing.
Just no insignia, no emblems. They just look well-dressed for people in the Warrens. And one of them definitely takes like some sort of small needled thing and jabs it into Magpie's neck.
Oh.
And she goes limp.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
And Bertram is booking it.
That fucker.
As best he can. He's had a head injury, so he's kind of, you know, swaying a little bit in his direction, but he's trying to book it away deeper into the Warrens.
Well, this is awkward. For the moment, I think she's going to interpret the needle going in that whoever these people are, they want Magpie alive. So for the moment, she's probably alive.
Mm-hmm.
So she is going to swear quietly and then run after Bertram.
Okay. So if you wanted to spend fleet of foot, you could use it to catch up to him because he can only run the standard amount.
Then yeah, I'm absolutely going to do that.
Okay. Because otherwise you guys would just like always be running the same distance from each other.
Yeah.
You're within immediate range of Bertram now as he's running. What are you
going to
do?
Ilsen is going to pull out her quarterstaff and try to trip Bertram.
Ooh, I like that. I don't think this is particularly hard. Honestly, the biggest challenge is that like you're running alongside him while you're doing this. But he's also like not totally together, and I don't think he's expecting this that they get a quarterstaff to his legs. So yes. Give me a 6.
Speed or bite?
It's dealer's choice. Oh, but you are running while this is going on, so this is fast movement, so probably not.
I'm going to go for speed since I have points there that I can spend. Put a level of effort in there, bring it back down to a 6. Okay.
What was it?
Going to spend an XP to reroll the 1.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, man. Why?
So that I can roll a 2, obviously.
So you try to bring the quarterstaff down to trip Bertram, and you just get the timing wrong. It misses his legs completely. But he does notice that you're catching up to him and trying to swing something, so he starts screaming to people, help! Help! Screaming to whoever will listen.
Oh, fuck. I mean, guess we'll try again.
I would like to offer you an XP.
Okay, fine.
Who would you give the other one to?
I'm gonna give it to Starbuck.
Aw, Starbuck, can you want me to take care of that for you? Okay.
Of course I'm gonna Stace. Alex isn't here. She loses out.
You can definitely try again, but I do want to point out, a few blocks down the street, you see a lift coming into position, an opening, and stepping out of it is the large ghoul.
Interesting. Okay. So at the end of the last episode, Ilsen did change her face.
Yes. And this makes sense because if the other ghoul was following you, or if there were multiple ghouls following you, it would make sense that when you guys started going down the stairs, that one of them would try to go down to reacquire you there.
Yeah, but Ilsa never saw the second ghoul, and I don't know if we know enough about ghouls to know if they, like, work alone or work as a team. Like, they presented themselves as a pair once or twice, I think.
Yeah. And you're also not sure if this particular ghoul has seen Bertram before.
Right.
Because you did fail a roll, so the ghouls that were following you on the third tier absolutely know that it was you with a different face following Bertram.
Elsin's going to try to tackle Bertram.
Okay. A tackle's kind of like more brute force, so I think it would probably be... I don't think the fast movement is going to be an issue for you here, just because I'm feeling kind.
Thank you.
So it'll be a six.
Okay.
Because again, Bertram is probably concussed and trying to do all this.
Yep. I'm going to try to roll for that six straight. Oh my god.
What?
I rolled a two again.
It's better than one. Would you like an XP? Have an XP, good sir.
No, I'll spend my own XP since I just got it.
When are you going to tear up? Ilsa needs to pull her own weight.
I have four XP left over if I spend this one, so I'm going to spend my own. I'm going to use a different dice, though.
Okay.
Is that 11? 11.
The look when you double-checked, I thought it was because it was a 1. And
no, I saw a 1, but I was like, no, there's something else. It's an 11.
Okay. So you slam your body into Bertram, and he goes down face first into the rock of the streets. And you can hear his nose crunch.
Ilsen is going to whisper in his ear, what's the voice? What's the voice? What's the voice you would use right now? I'm trying to save your life. Keep your head down. Shut up.
Bertram is so confused right now. Like, he's had so many people interacting with, in his mind, so many different people interacting with him since he tried to follow this note. So you say that into his ear, and he just goes, my fucking nose.
Yep.
Get off me.
Are you going to keep calm? Because I don't know if you can see him right now. And then Ilsen will try to, like, orient his face towards the ghoul. There's a ghoul right there. They're trying to come for you. I don't know what you did, but I'm going to get you out of here if you behave.
I didn't do anything.
They don't think so. And it's their opinion that matters.
This is probably about that damn article.
Not my place to say. Is he chill? Relatively chill?
For a guy that's got his broken nose and is trying to deal with that, yeah, as much as he can.
All right. Then Ilsen is going to slowly get off of him and try to pick him up and get out of line of sight of this ghoul with Bertram in tow.
Okay. So you're trying to stealth away with Bertram in tow?
Trying to make it seem as natural as possible, like we're both kind of dazed from the sudden flood and we're just trying to, like, pick ourselves back up, get on with our life.
Some more lies and trickery than stealth.
Yes. Yes. If you don't mind.
Yeah. Okay. Bertram isn't going to make things easy in the sense that, like, he's visibly got a broken nose. You know, blood is coming down. He's noticeable even if he tries to be chill.
Ilsen's going to, again, try to lean into that. Like, we're both sopping wet. We got pushed around. Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Ghouls, again, normally an 18. You're specialized, I'm going to say, because you're trying to bend this into your lies and trickery. Let's make this a specialized, so that makes it a 12.
Okay.
And it's going to be intellect if you want to spend something, since it's lies and trickery.
All I need is 10 minutes. I'm at single digits and on my pools right now, so I'm just going to try to roll this straight 12, you said?
Yeah.
Please, 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 please. Cool. Roll another 2, so.
Wow. So as you're doing your lies and trickery, as you're kind of trying to kind of move off to the side, you just get this, like, one nervous moment where you look up, and you immediately inwardly curse at yourself because you make direct eye contact with that ghoul.
Oh, fuck.
And you see his eyebrows raise.
Fuck. She's going to try to play cool as much as she can until she breaks eye contact on, like, a side street or an alleyway, whichever is closer, and then she'll try to run with Bertram.
Run where?
Fucking anywhere, dude. Just away. Possibly in the direction of the Brisker warehouse, but away more so than anything.
Okay, evens or odds?
Let's go evens for all these twos.
Okay, Stace, roll die. Tell me if you get even or odd.
6, even.
Okay, you see the Brisker warehouse up ahead.
Okay.
Where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Taking you to a safe place, I hope.
Yeah, it's been really safe with you so far, he says, holding his nose.
Are you dead? then you're safe because you're not dead. I mean, just keep going.
So you're leading him towards the warehouse?
Yep. Just going straight there because that's all I got.
Okay. Evens or odds?
Evens again.
Stace?
Bait?
Yes.
Okay. You reach the warehouse door.
It's locked. Ilsen tries to open it.
It's locked. You remember from the warehouse before, like, they essentially, like, guard it.
Yeah. All right. She'll bang on the door.
A brisker comes to the door and takes a look at you and then takes a look at Bertram. You don't recognize this woman. She is wearing brisker sashes on her arms. She's got sort of a pixie cut red hair. Bertram, what are you doing here? What happened to you?
Broke my fucking nose.
Odal has been waiting for us. This is the one he's been waiting for. Courtesy of Magpie.
Courtesy of Magpie? Where is Magpie?
Busy with another errand. Also, we need to get inside right now. Things are quite ghoulish out here.
I see. Come on in. And as you step in, they look you up and down. You're going to have to hand your quarterstaff to Carl there.
Chill. Toss it over.
He takes it, sets it aside, and the woman leads you into that same, like, waiting area office that was there before. She leans out the door and says, "Somebody get Odalai." And about 10 minutes pass, and you see Odalai wandering the door, flanked by two huge briskers.
Very quickly, can I use that 10 minutes to make a recovery roll?
Yes.
Awesome.
Odalai walks in and says, "Bertram, you look like somebody roughed you up." And then Odalai turns and looks at you and says, "And who the hell are you?" And with that, we cut back to Ezri on the roof in the midst of the hurricane with Neva.
Ezri's going to find the nearest, maybe not the nearest, the second nearest bunker for the, it's not called the light splash. I know that. But
oh, the pulse?
The pulse, thank you. Yeah, she's going to find one of those.
Okay, so you're on the roof of the detention center. You would know where the nearest pulse shelter is from here. It's not too far, but notably, it's the kind of thing, you know, that just the way things fly in lay, that none of the detention center walls have that kind of shelter built into them. So if a pulse happens while there's prisoners in the detention area, too bad, they're done.
Damn!
But yeah, you know where one is. How do you plan on getting there?
Plan is to use her stars to, I mean, she'll be flying, but more of a angled glide downward. So just like over the heads of the guards and past and down. Not going to try to fly all the way there.
Okay. Give me, since there's sort of, we're talking about like hurricane level gale winds.
Oh.
Give me a might roll of 18.
Do you consider this to be jumping in a sense?
I don't really think so.
What if she jumped off then flew?
Fine.
Okay. That's a 15, and I'll spend 2 levels of might effort. Make it a 9. I'm a 17.
Okay. You manage to fly over the heads of these guards and get down without being blown into any buildings. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. You know, you get past where the guards are, and actually, the other thing that doesn't make it easy is that Neva keeps, like, moving in your arms to kind of look around. And at one point, you hear him go, "Woohoo!" But there's a crack of thunder at the same time. So he doesn't draw any attention.
Hold still and shut up.
What was that?
Ezri will get to the bunker.
Best prison break ever!
Ezri will cover his mouth.
Okay.
And get to the bunker.
Okay, you get to the bunker. There aren't many people in it. There are maybe like a handful of people that decided to run in there to wait out the storm, since they know that at least this has got one side of it that's cliff rock. And you get in there, and as you get in, Neva looks at you and is like, "That was awesome."
It was all right. Kind of the sort of thing I do.
Oh, that's cool.
You're pretty cool. Those illusions were pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks. I know.
All right.
So what's the plan now?
Wait for this to pass. Hope nobody shows up here that I have to murder.
One of the other people in the pulse shelter, like, kind of looks over their shoulder at you briefly.
Yeah, then we'll get out of here.
Okay. Well, then. I think it might take a little while before the storm blows over, though.
I think so. I've never seen one this bad, have you?
Not on land. It was this one time, though, I was on a ship. I was doing this thing, and that was rough.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it was fun. I was the only survivor, though. That was less good.
Not ideal. I recently did a thing on a train.
Really? Well, that's cool. Oh, man. Transit Guild, though? You've got balls. I wouldn't fuck with the Transit Guild.
Yeah. I mean, why not? And I get more... Esther clears her throat real quick when she remembers people are...
Wow, that's intense. You probably shouldn't talk about that in the open, though. It's not safe. Kind of unprofessional, too. He winks.
Fair enough.
Well, if we're gonna be a while, I think I might go introduce myself to some ladies over there. And he slicks back his wet hair and goes sauntering off towards the other people in the Pulse shelter.
That does how they caught him. He was just flirting with the wrong woman.
He wanders over, and you think you can barely hear him. Oh, my lady, you look gorgeous. Have we met before? No, no, I think you'd know me.
No!
Call me the Dark Wizard Neva. You can definitely get the vibe from them that they're not digging his shtick. But he also appears completely oblivious to that.
Esri's going to swing up next to him, put her arm around his shoulders. She's going to use her natural charisma. I've seen this guy in action. Legit.
Yeah, natural charisma. Give me a 6.
19? Minor effect.
Oh my god.
Okay, it's definitely going to have a positive effect. What's the minor effect?
In whatever way or whatever form it takes, I want one of these ladies to actually genuinely like Neva just a little bit. Maybe just enough to arrange coffee or exchange, I don't know, information.
Okay. She's clearly digging it. Her friend keeps looking at her like, what the fuck are you doing? But she's like, no, it's okay. And she kind of gradually like moves off with Neva elsewhere to continue their conversation privately. And the storm rages on. After about 20 minutes, you can see Neva lean over, kiss the woman on the cheek, and saunters back over you. Yeah, I got a date for after the storm's over.
Right after?
As soon as we can get somewhere private, yeah.
I see. Well, thank you for waiting.
Yeah, she said her friend's weird about that kind of stuff. It happened once before, things got uncomfortable.
Esri is going to pull out her artifact that allows her to track followers that only followers will submit to.
Oh.
It says the tagging process is somewhat demeaning, so it is likely only your followers would ever submit to it. But I don't want to just be like, here, stick it up your ass, you know, or something like that. What could that be?
What if you, like, grabbed him by the throat and then, like, a little marking appeared around his neck like a collar?
I like it, kinda.
No, not feeling it.
What if it's a tramp stamp?
But they don't find about it until their date.
Yeah. Frost, shoddy, and hammer tramp stamp. Not too big. You know, tasteful.
Mm-hmm. Sign of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess this is a giant fucking tattoo stamp, then. As she will hold up this needled thing and be like, before you go do that, wouldn't mind. Give you a quick tattoo, and I'll be able to find you.
He looks at it, blinks, he's like, oh, sick, I've heard of those.
Great, then you know what to do. Turn around, lift up your shirt.
Yeah, tap me up, buddy.
Okay. Esri will do her best to center it. I'm going to say it's still just like slightly crooked. Like, you wouldn't necessarily notice unless you're that sort of person who's going to notice. So, and she stamps it.
The interesting thing is that the needles go, and the needles don't have to stab for too long, because what ends up happening is it's almost like the ink comes to life in it, and it's almost like a synth silver ink that spreads out and forms into that design. It forms into the hammer and the shotgun, and then underneath there, it just says in initials ES.
Oh my god.
But in like terrible font, like the worst kind of stereotypical like bad sailor font for a tattoo.
Yes.
And it glows for him and it's like, sick. That's awesome.
Enjoy yourself after.
So that lets you find me anywhere, right?
Yes.
But you can't see anything, right?
No.
Okay, good. Good. I just wanted to make sure you couldn't see me if I was jerking off or anything like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And when you're done with your activity, just come down to tier 8, keep an eye out for you. I'll come find you.
Okay, sounds good. If you don't mind, I'm going to go over there and make sure everything stays warm.
But not too warm in here with all these people.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Have fun. Be safe.
He gives you finger guns. He's like, I always am.
No, finger guns, no.
And wanders off. Ilson.
Yes. Ilson will say, hi, yes, I come courtesy of Magpie. And I was told that I would be allowed to keep my identity anonymous. While she is saying this, can she walk behind Bertrand, shift her face to show that she is Ilson, still doing the voice? And then she'll change her face back. Is that all right with you, Mr. Odelai?
Pretty tricky there.
That's what I get hired for.
Who's this magpie, Bertram says? The fuck is going on?
Well, I'm sorry, friend. Turns out magpie was somebody you may have inadvertently pissed off one way or another.
Piss off? What, Odelai, do you know what's going on?
I believe this is the man you've been looking for, cause of all your troubles.
What?
I would like to spend an XP for a player intrusion to pull out the notebook.
Smart that you had the notebook. Yeah. Could you sense the potential GM intrusion coming of Magpie still having the notebook?
I knew it was going to come up, yeah. Quick flashback to how Ilsen got it. Somewhere along the tunnels, I imagine, like, Ilsen slipped on, like, a wet rock. Magpie said something kind of snide that annoyed Ilsen enough to pick the notebook out of Magpie's pocket.
Okay.
I don't know the exact page, but Magpie found the artifact and some questionable diagrams in here. And Ilsen will toss the notebook to Odelai.
Okay. So Odelai starts flipping through it, and Bertram's like, what the hell's going on here? And Odelai just says briefly, just quietly, shut up. And just everyone in the room goes silent as he flips through the journal in silence, taking his time, reading page by page. Goes to show you never really know who you're working with. And he looks up and briefly meets your eyes, Ilsen.
That's always good to find someone you trust and stick to that.
He gets to what you would assume be the pages where Bertram is tracking that this artifact is moving in. Bertram, I didn't know that you were keeping an eye out for the diamond. You mean the artifact? Yeah, there was a huge bidding war. Of course I was trying to figure out what was going on with it. See, you know it went missing? I mean, I wasn't even sure if it had gotten to the city yet. Really? Then what's this? And he holds up the page that is the diagram of the warehouse you guys are currently sitting in. I don't know. I don't remember drawing anything like that. And Odelai says, you don't remember, huh? No, I don't understand what this is about. Odelai turns and looks at you, Ilsen, and says, you sure about this?
I mean, I don't know what quite the situation is, but what you just held up there seems pretty incriminating.
Magpie should have come.
Yes, Magpie seems to be caught up in some other business. She got carried away.
We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, if you don't mind, may I excuse myself? This seems like a conversation that should occur in private.
You stay right fuck where you are.
Okay. Can I at least get a change of clothes?
No.
All right.
Bertram, it looks to here like you stole from me. And after I gave you intel, we contributed a ton of background data for your articles. Yes, I mean, yeah, you told me about how Margaret the Agents were infiltrating the organized crime syndicates of late. Right. And the Ilkers in their part, too. But what I'm curious about is where you got the source for this artifact. And then I also want to know who you sold it to after you stole it from me. Bertram, like, blanches, like, whoa, I did not steal anything from you. This is the first time I've been in this building. Do I look like the kind of person that steals? You know, I'm not in a position to do that. I'm not going to, you know, piss any of you guys off. And Odelai says, yeah, well, I don't care what you look like. You're going to tell me who you sold it to. And we're going to be here until you do. And he leans over his shoulder and tells one of his goons, get the tools. And the goon walks out.
I really won't be in much help here, saying.
I don't care.
Not even a towel?
A few moments later, the goon comes back in with essentially like a suitcase and opens it, revealing a wide variety of hardware and surgical tools.
Oh boy.
Ezri, the storm is finally subsiding, or at least it sounds like it's subsiding.
Ezri will give Neva a sharp nod and head out of the bunker to go down to Tier 8. She's going to take a long way around from the prison.
Okay, good call. As you come out, the air is almost like unnaturally still right now. the sky is almost orangish.
Weird.
Been there.
Okay. So Ezri will... Stairs are going to be slick. Scared of the stairs still. So Ezri will head to the lift.
Okay. So you head to the lift. And as you get to the lift, you can see that there is actually somebody from the Transit Guild that is currently working on one of the pulleys that apparently malfunctioned during the storm.
Oh, so the elevator is out of order?
At least for now. Like, there are some people kind of gathered around, and the Transit Guild voice, like, just a few more minutes, I just gotta make sure this stays safe.
Ezri will nod and then wander away from the Transit Guild person. She's not sure if the news has reached the city, and she is wearing her exact disguise. So...
Well, and also you were seen without your disguise, because when you did the aging, we agreed that your makeup flaked right off.
So, I forgot I had stars. So she's actually just going to wander over to the stairs and hover her way down.
Okay. As you start hovering your way down, you can feel the wind starting to pick back up again.
Ooh, she's going to go faster.
As the eye of the storm moves away from being over the surface city.
She'll duck into then whatever, you know, tier she's closest to. So that's 8, great, but...
Yeah, I think you get down to maybe tier 4.
Okay, she'll pop in there.
It is crazy wet all through here. Like, water has rushed through. There are giant puddles all along the cave floors.
Ooh. Well, she'll splash her way through because she's got kick-ass boots and head on down to tier 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Via which direction?
Left.
I mean, tunnels... Lifts?
Oh.
Back on the stairs?
Inside, because the storm seems to... You said that I was passing, yeah.
Okay. So, tunnels? Lifts?
Oh, tunnels.
Okay. So you go to the tunnels, you can see that they have... Well, it's drained a little bit, like, now, but you can see that the tunnels are looking really wet and slick, and there's still, like, big puddles in them, and some that is trickling down through the center spaces.
Worse than usual, I take it, but probably something she's seen before from, like, maybe to a lesser degree, or...
You have seen a lesser degree of it, but this, you've never seen it like this. I mean, it looks like at some point these tunnels were flooded recently.
So, Ezreal starts to jog, because she's starting to get worried about tier 8.
Okay. So, you start running down. I think you can get down to... So, you're going to tier 8?
She's going to duck off and change... somewhere around tier 4 or 5, somewhere, you know, in the tunnels, and get out of this disguise.
Okay, you get out of that disguise and you are heading down. I think you get down to, I mean, this tunnel exits at tier 6, if that's where you're going for. And then you could either try to find another tunnel to go down, or you could take the lifts from there to tier 7 and then tier 8.
Just sticking to the tunnels.
Okay. You do hear some thunder in the distance, like a rumbling in the rocks.
Yeah. The water improving or getting worse?
It's starting to get a little worse.
Shit. Splish splosh on she jogs.
Okay. I would say you get to tier 7 and you can hear that rumbling again. The water is now kind of up over the tops of your feet. It's like walking through a shallow creek.
So she's going to go faster and get to the enclave.
Okay. So give me a running roll.
Fleet of foot.
Okay. That will help. That will help in terms of distance. So because you've got fleet of foot going, I would say you're only going to have to do this one roll because you're already down lower and the water would start up higher as it's coming. And so give me a 15 running roll.
No, she's going to jump from puddle to puddle, Daniel.
No.
Oh.
It's not puddle to puddle. You're like in a creek, essentially, okay, in these tunnels.
So that's 15 with the... Mm-hmm.
Well, the fleet of foot isn't going to give you an asset on it. The fleet of foot is just making it that you only have to do one roll to get through this.
Okay. I'll spend 2 levels of speed. Or no, running could be might, right?
Running could be might.
That's what I'm going to spend instead. It's cheaper. 5? Is that good?
A wave of water hits you in the back.
Aww.
I need you to make a 15 might defense roll.
What was the difficulty?
15.
2 levels of might again. She jumps out of the way. No, 16.
Okay. You'll only get hit for 1 damage against the rock wall before you are spit out onto tier 8.
Armor?
Armor will help.
Okay. She just bounces off.
Yep. So now you are at tier 8.
Great. She's going to head to the enclave.
Okay. So you go into the enclave, and luckily, like, this hasn't been where, like, the water's been splashing in. So, oddly enough, this little, like, shithole that you guys have set up your enclave in is actually proving relatively resilient to the excess water that's coming into the Warrens. You definitely pass a lot of freaked out people, because obviously the idea of any kind of flooding is extra terrifying in cave structures where the only way for water to flow is out to the stairs eventually.
True.
But as you come in, you can see that some of the crew is kind of over in the corner, huddled up. Zidon is currently trying to get a cook fire going, partly to make food, but then also just to keep things warm in there because the temperature has dropped so much in the Warrens and in the vicinity because of the storm. You don't see Tibu right now. You're not sure where she is. Not necessarily alarming. I mean, she could just be somewhere else in the area. And you see Asmund kind of, she's just stretched out on her bedroll, just kind of idly playing with something on her wrist. And she looks up, she's like, oh, Ezri.
Hey, Asmund.
Hey. She sits up. I've got something for you.
What is it?
She's like, I bumped into Ferdinand and he said to give you this. It's like a box like the size of like a Kleenex box or something like that.
Intriguing.
It just has an E on the top of it.
Monogrammed. I like it. Ezri will open the box.
Inside the box, you find what looks to be like a coin pouch and a note from Ferdinand and kind of a flowing script.
What does it say?
It says, Ezri, in the enclosed pouch, you'll find your share of the job. Thank you for your participation. I couldn't have completed the real job without all of your help. Be seeing you. With a large, flourishy F.
Wow, he got the money somehow. Real job. Does she know what he means by that? Does he just mean the train heist, or was there a...
It implies that there was a job within a job that he was doing.
Sweet.
And inside the pouch, you find 750 shins.
Holy fuck! Ezri's rich as hell! That is 2,002 shins.
Holy shit.
Well, a big part of that is just for the enclave.
I mean, she's sharing it. Oh, yeah. I'm just keeping it running, Tally.
Still, I feel like that's pretty close to the most amount of shins we've ever had in any campaign.
Certainly this early.
Oh, yeah.
Ezri will ask, where's Tibu? You know?
Oh, she just ran out briefly.
So did I. I broke a nano out of prison.
You broke a nano out of prison?
Yeah, I really felt like we needed a nano for the crew. We get stumped by Numenera quite a lot and attacked by it, so.
Oh, okay. Cool. Are they with you, or?
Yes, they're here in the room right now. Can't you see?
I'm going to ask this as delicately as I can. How much consequences should we be preparing for?
I'm not sure. It depends on if I was recognized or not. But, I mean, can there be more consequences at this point? Because...
So a lot.
You know, there's the whole senator thing already. And there's the train heist thing.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, it's just a prison break sounds exciting. I wish you'd asked me to come help.
I didn't think it was going to be a prison break. I was just sort of casing the place. I snuck in, trying to talk.
What's this about a prison break? You hear Tibu saying from behind
Ezri turns around real quick. Hey, Tibu.
Hey, Ezri. And she cocks her head, crosses her arms in front of her, and says, what have you done now? And then we cut back to Ilsen.
Who's in more trouble, Bert or Ezri?
Odalai takes out a hammer and a set of pliers and starts slowly walking towards where Bertram is sitting. And that's Rwanda's episode.
Oh.
Samson, something about this episode.
Four twos? I rolled four twos.
Seems kind of impossible.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
That was good stuff. That was like old times for me.
I'm glad you all enjoyed it. I'm back to 3 XP. I'm never going to tear up. I'm going to be tier 1 all the way through.
Only if someone with tier 2, 3 XP had offered to one.
I don't like taking other people's XP. I don't like that. It feels weird, especially because Ezri wasn't there. So it just, I don't like it.
I'll just keep leveling up.
Thank you. I need you to protect me from myself, probably.
Probably would help if you didn't go off on like crazy plans without Ezri, though, then. Is she supposed to protect you?
Yeah, I get the real world nature, but Ezri as a character is just like, what the hell were you guys thinking?
There's going to be a lot of sass back and forth when we finally meet up.
Yeah, it's one of those things where your friends went and did something cool without you and didn't invite you.
I'm sorry, Ezri just did a prison break?
Superman it wasn't style, supposed to be a prison no break. Plan. Neva started it.
You gotta take responsibility for your own followers, dude.
Listen, Neva just like helped spread an extra layer of awesome on the prison break. That's what he did.
Do you have a plan? No.
That's good. Well, we have a segment that we do each week called Player Intrusions. That's where we offer you, the listener, an XP to check out something that we think you'd really dig. This week, it is Samson's turn. Samson, what would you offer our listeners an XP to check out?
I would offer listeners an XP to check out a video game developer called Loco Malito. They are a Spanish developer, I believe, and they have a bunch of like old school, like 1970s, 80s style video games that are all for free. And most of them, the ones I've played at least, are really rad. So they're like old school, like arcade or like ZX Spectrum or MSX computer games. And like, they're all done in this very like traditional, like old school style, but with like modern sensibilities. So without any of like the kind of annoying stuff that was just around before like video game design was really a thing. And the games that I've played are so cool. Toxic Tomb is a great, like, I don't even know how to describe this. It's like a kind of run and gun kind of, no, not run and gun. I'm not super familiar with the old school genres, but it's basically a shooter where you're running around shooting ghouls, trying to get as many points as possible to get to the final ghoul.
That is it a side scroller?
Yes, most of these are side scrollers. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
There's another one, Solar Gladiators, that looks like a take on Tron. Maldita Castilla is, to my mind, kind of looks like a Ghosts and Goblins or Goblins and Ghosts. I can't remember what that name's called, but all these games are super cool and they're all free. I think the only one that you would pay for is available on Steam, and that's like the big kind of flagship game he has, Maldita Castilla X. But check them out. They're all very cool. What's another one? Another one I really like, I think, is They Came from Verminest, which has like this like 1950s sci-fi filter on it. It's like a shoot 'em up in the Galaga style. These are all super cool. So yeah, Loco Malito, check them out. Bunch of great games there.
Cool. Well, if people wanted to tell us what they think about games from Loco Malito, how would they do that, Samson?
Well, they can come to our website, explorerswanted.fm. On there, they'll find our up-to-date social medias. On Mastodon, we are at explorerswanted at dice.camp. On Blue Sky, we are at explorerswanted.fm. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at explorerswantedpodcast. But the best place to talk to us about stuff is our Discord. explorerswanted.fm/discord will bring you to us there. Also, if it is within your means and you're feeling generous, patreon.com/explorerswanted is a great place to support us. And please use our Dice Filler code with Diehard Dice. ExplorersWanted at checkout, get 10% off your order.
And if you can't financially support us, we totally understand. The best thing that you could do for us is to tell your friends, tell them what you like about the show, why they should listen to it. Second best thing is to write us a 5-star written review on a podcast directory like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. It really helps people find the show. And if you didn't like the podcast, or if you just thought this episode was meh, well, I think it's time that we revisit your expectations. I want to ensure that we arrange for an enjoyable time vis-a-vis your listening experience. I understand that you may be looking for something different in your audio entertainment, and I hope that you can find it. And I hope that you can likewise support my hopes that Gorath the Goatman finds you in the night and spends the next few evenings taking sharp bites from your most tender flesh. If you want to reach out to us individually on social media, you can. You can find me on Mastodon as Daniel at Anderlik, ANDRLIK.org.
Tender. You can find me on our Discord. I'm Stace Windu.
I have cats that already do that job. I'm at Slampotato on Twitter, at Slampotato at Dice.camp on Mastodon, and at Slampotato on Blue Sky.
All right, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week as we will for every week in the foreseeable future. Have a good night, day, weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. And bye.